I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, so today we're going to talk about one of the concepts and one of the phrases that I use frequently with clients and with prospective clients, which is you've got to meet yourself where you're at. And so often we jump into these diet plans, these protocols, these quote lifestyle changes, and we try to go from where we're at today and jump ahead like an entire year and where we want to be a year from now and start doing that immediately. So this looks like making big sweeping changes. This is how we get into the all or nothing cycles and patterns of doom. This is where we're all in or we're all out. I'm all in doing all the things 100%, but I'm making big sweeping changes that triggers and activates my safety security mechanism around food or weight loss or your body image. And then we end up falling, we fall off. So what we're doing is not sustainable. We haven't built up to the habit yet. And so the pendulum keeps swinging from being like all in, I'm on it, I'm doing the things, to being all out, because we're not at a place where mentally, emotionally, or even physically, we can handle the bandwidth and we can handle the action. So this often looks like, and I see this all the time in January, right? It's 75 hard, or doing the whole 30 and just saying, I'm just not going to eat processed foods for 30 days. But you're trying to go from eating processed foods every single day to now eating none. And it's just not a realistic jump. And so I was talking to a client the other day and just helping her to create this on-ramp. And that's how I think about it, is like an on-ramp of getting started with me and working with me. I also talk to clients about this when they are transitioning back from vacation, where it's like, give yourself this on-ramp. And so I know for me, whenever I travel, I like to give myself a transition day, where if I get home on a Sunday, for example, I'm not planning to do work on Monday. That's my transition day. I get back into work on Tuesday. So if possible, if I can, I plan it to where I can get back on maybe a Saturday. That way Sunday is my transition day. I start Monday, or whatever the timing of it looks like. Sometimes I travel on a Tuesday. And so it's really just being aware and mindful of what are my expectations of myself on these different days at these different times. And as we were talking through things, I was like, it's going to be jarring for your body, for your nervous system, for your brain to go from eating sweets every single day to now saying, I can have one a week. Because even one a week likely is not enough to create the peace and safety and security. And everybody's going to be a little bit different here. There might be some people that are like, nope, it's better for me just to cut it out completely. But my challenge is always going to be like, you have to be honest and look at, does this actually work for you? Or do you keep on swinging between being, quote, good and following your plan, and then you're off plan and you're bad? And so it's really about keeping this focus. You've got to meet yourself where you're at now, today, not where you want to be in 6 months, not where you want to be in a year, but meet yourself where you're at today. And so a couple episodes ago, I was talking about weight loss, and if you've gained weight or regained weight, especially last year or over the holidays, really just taking stock, making an evaluation, and then deciding, here's where I want to go from there. And so for me, noticing, okay, I'm probably eating more sweets, number one, I'm having more drinks. So for sweets, for me, it looks like one dessert every single day, plus two pieces of chocolate, maybe three, like my max is going to be three pieces of chocolate and a dessert every day, because one, I like sweets. I also know that if I want more than that, it's either emotionally driven or it's because I'm trying to cut and I'm not eating enough carbs, or I'm not getting in enough fuel throughout the day. So it's showing me, if I want more, it's going to show me what is going on, what else is happening. And I know that if I try to take away too much, and especially too much too quickly, my brain will rebel. And I'm like, you can't take this. Like, you can't make me. You're not the boss of me, Jillian. Like, I do what I want. My brain is just, nope, we're not doing that. In order to keep a sense of like safety, security around food, it's not going anywhere. It's not being restricted. I can say no to it today because I know I am getting more tomorrow. That feels really good to me. So there are days where I don't eat a dessert. but most of the time I do, and that's okay. That is the lifestyle that I want. That's where I feel really comfortable and it works for me. And so if you are going from trying to do something like every day to cutting it back to none at all, or maybe once a week, often what I recommend is something like 3 days a week. So like with the drinking, I knew just to say, I'm just not going to drink at all. I was like, okay, there seems to be some kind of like emotional tie or thing going on here. So let me just explore a little bit more and see, you know, what comes up. But if I allow myself to drink on 2 nights instead of 4 nights or 5 nights, let me put some parameters around it. Let me be more mindful and intentional with, is this a night that I want to drink? Do I actually like this? Am I drinking because I'm around other people? Or am I drinking at home because I'm maybe feeling stressed? Or for me, I noticed it was typically after the little guy goes to bed and I still have work to do or work that I want to get done. And so it's, oh, I can make it a little bit more enjoyable to stay up and do this work, even though I don't necessarily want to, but I can make it more fun if I have a glass of wine or if I make a little cocktail. And so it's really just understanding what like is physically happening, because on most nights, I just need to go to bed early. Like I need to go to bed, and that's going to be really helpful for me. Other nights, it's like really identifying and looking at, alcohol's not the actual problem. It's that I'm trying to keep myself awake, or I'm trying to make this task or this activity more fun with alcohol. So I'm not going to take it away completely. I'm not going to do like a dry January, because in my mind, it doesn't make any sense to stop drinking alcohol for a month if you're just going to go back to your same drinking habits the rest of the year. Like it doesn't do you any good. So I'm looking at what is sustainable. What can you do for the rest of your life without hating your life? And you have to meet yourself where you're at right now. So you start today and know that what you can do in 3 months, in 6 months, in 12 months without hating your life is going to look different. This is where we build our self-trust. And when we build trust that we can set an intention, set a goal, and follow through with it, that is so important, especially when you have experience and so much proof as to how you have lost weight but then regained it, how you would make decisions or make commitments or say that you were going to do something but then you didn't follow through. We have to start with small steps of building self-trust, and we've got to make it so simple, so doable. So when it comes to exercise, it's now I'm going to exercise for 10 minutes, 3 days a week. Right? If you're used to just a little bit of workouts, like it might be something like that, but it's like very doable, very basic. And there are many clients where I will tell them, what if you just started at once a week? So I started doing yoga in November, and I just set that goal of once a week and hit it most weeks. There was one week where I didn't, and just get right back on track, do it once a week. I don't have to make up for anything, and just keep going. Keep trying different classes, different instructors. And I found one instructor that I really like on a Monday night. And then I was like, oh, I also really like either a Thursday night or a Saturday morning. And so I was hitting once a week. Last week, I did twice a week. And I was like, oh, fantastic. The baseline never moves, though. The baseline still stays once a week for the entire year. I'm keeping this baseline. I can always do more, but I'm going to keep my baseline of once a week. That is really important, is that we are not trying to constantly move the goalposts. So this is what I talk about when it comes to minimum baselines, as this is the minimum that I'm going to do. But in going from, I have not done yoga consistently since I was pregnant. It was 2020. So to go from not doing something, like hardly at all, I now, rather than trying to make it a daily or multiple times a week, go with once a week. And this is where our brains want to fight us. And they want to say, that's not good enough. That couldn't possibly work. That couldn't possibly help. That's what we want to be on the lookout for. It's the problem is not that we aren't doing enough action or we aren't taking enough action. It's that we are telling ourselves that the small, simple steps aren't good enough. And then we are not taking the action. That's the real issue. And this is how we learn how to get out of our own way. This is why it is so helpful when clients come to work with me, is because I help them see what is truly standing in their way. And when it's themselves, how to get out of the way, because there's always going to be a reason and a way that we stand in our own way. But we have to look at how to break that pattern. And so a lot of this comes back to the perfectionism, and then the all or nothing of like, I'm all in 100% hardcore or I'm all out. And so this idea of meet yourself where you're at, it comes into play with food, comes into play with exercise, it comes into play with water. I have some clients that start with me and they're maybe drinking like 3 glasses of water a day. So I'm like, okay, awesome. Let's start with those three. Let's make sure we've got those three down. So I just want you to be more intentional this week and track it. So make sure you get in a glass in the morning, one at lunch, around lunchtime, one in the evening, minimum. You can drink more, but let's just start with that. And then we're going to increase it 10 ounces. So then you hit that and you don't increase from that, you know, so you go from 25 ounces to 35 ounces of water. Now the goal is 65, but we're going to slowly work our way up there. This whole idea of I'm going to go from drinking no water to chugging like a gallon of water every day, again, not sustainable. It's not long lasting. Going from walking zero steps or hardly any steps to walking 20,000 every day, it's okay. Can you do that for a challenge for a month? Sure. Yeah, we can willpower our way there. And then what happens? You stop walking altogether for months, maybe for the rest of the year. You're like, my feet hurt. I've got blisters. I wore out my shoes. Like, I'm now injured. I've got this. I've got that. No, let's stop playing that game. And so this concept came to mind here this weekend because I was reorganizing my apartment. So I was in my neighbor's apartment a couple weeks ago, beautifully decorated. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love it. And it feels so spacious. I really liked how open it felt. And when I came back into mine, I was like, okay, mine is not necessarily, it's not cluttered at all. But I was like, it just feels, I feel claustrophobic in it. I feel like it's a big space, but I've taken furniture from a 5-bedroom, 3,000 square foot home, and now taken those pieces of furniture and tried to put them into a 2-bedroom apartment, which 1,200 square feet is like pretty good size. However, like I have a very large bed. It takes up a lot of room in the master bedroom. I have a very large couch. It takes up a lot of space. I have a large dining room table. So while I can, and at some point I will get new furniture, right now I meet myself where I'm at, and I'm going to use what I've got. So I'm going to use the paintings, I'm going to use the artwork, I'm going to use the decorations, and I'm going to slowly start to bring in or add or swap out things as I get going. But I also know like my mental, emotional bandwidth does not need to be in selling and then buying new furniture right now. Like that just, I don't need to spend my bandwidth doing that at this point. Now, I will likely resign another year, is what I'm guessing at this point. So maybe this summer I'll get to it. Maybe not. Maybe I'll wait until next year when I buy a house and I'll do it then. So this is where it's okay. I'm going to use what I have. I also downsized my storage unit. So I brought some pieces out of storage and put it here in the apartment. And so I flipped the couch. And so what I've been looking at is, okay, how can I create more space? What can I move around? What can I adjust? What can I rearrange so that it feels more open? And so I noticed in order to keep the back door to the patio open, I had the short end along one wall and then a long end going along the back as like a divider in a sense between the living room and the kitchen. But the bar stools back up right to it. And so it felt closed off. And so I decided to shift it and I flipped it. So I made the long end actually up against the other wall to where it blocks the back door. Like I cannot get onto the patio without climbing over the couch. However, it's 25 degrees outside right now. I don't need to go out onto the patio. The only reason I use it in the winter is as like a second refrigerator. Okay. And like maybe sometimes to turn on the balcony Christmas lights that are out there. That's it. I hardly use the balcony, especially in the winter. So I don't mind blocking it off. So I know that like my aunt, who's an interior designer, I know that she could walk into my apartment and she would probably start twitching. She'd be like, oh my gosh, Jillian, what is happening? Doing? And she's so sweet and so Southern. She would be like, so what were your intentions with this? Like she wouldn't come out and be like, this is all wrong. This needs to change. But I guarantee that would be like what was going on in her mind would be like, oh, what fresh hell is this? And you know what? That's okay. I'm going to share some photos and do a reel and some stuff on Instagram. So if you're not following me there, I'll give you a visual. So you can find me, Jillian Amadea is my handle. So first name and then AMADEA. So Jillian Amadea is where you can find me on Instagram. Come see photos and you can get a good laugh. And what? Is it like feng shuied? Absolutely not. Is it functional and doing what I need it to do for right now? Yes, it is. So I moved some space around because part of it was like I wanted to create more space in the dining room area. Part of it is I wanted more space in the living room. So I'm like, I'm getting closer and I still might not even have it where I want it exactly. There's a piece of furniture that I painted blue when I first moved out and moved into this apartment. And I'm now going to paint it more of a cream color and let maybe a little bit of the blue show through underneath. But I know it just does not match. Like the vibe and the style just does not match anything that I have elsewhere in the apartment. So I'm like, okay, I need to play with it a little bit more. And it's okay. Like it is a work in progress. I may have a friend come over and help me figure out, okay, where can I move this piece? I might end up taking off. I have a kind of like a baby gate that I had set up for the dogs. It doesn't actually work at all. The dogs just slide underneath it because it's fabric. So I wanted something that was retractable. And so I like the concept, but I'm like, in all actuality, in the functionality of it, I was like, this might actually just have to come off the wall. So it's like being willing to do that sort of thing. And again, if I'm going to meet myself where I'm at, I'm going to use the furniture that I have, and I'm going to look at what is my goal, because my goal right now is not that it is perfectly landscaped, manicured for a magazine. It's that it's functional, that it feels open, that I'm really enjoying my space. And to be honest, I'm used to moving every 1 to 2 years. And so if I am, it's like now that I am staying here and I've been here almost a year and a half, it is time for a little refresh. I can see how my brain is probably getting a little bored and it's like, all right, I think I need something a little different, even if it's just for a few months. So it's not going to stay like this forever, I don't imagine. But again, it's okay if I'm really honest with myself, how often do I actually use that balcony? And for a while, I was remote starting my car from the balcony. I can park in like a different spot. I can park along the side of the building and I can do that from my bedroom window. So, okay, this kind of looks ridiculous, but for now it works. And this is the permission I want to give you of figuring it out and making it work for you. And this is what I help clients with, is to give themselves the permission to do it their own way, to start small, to not have to get it right the first time around, and to trust that they're going to keep making improvements, keep making changes, and things are going to keep getting better and better. But you've got to meet yourself where you're at. You've got to start and really build this foundation of self-trust, because that is often what's been deteriorated over the years, is our self-trust, our self-worth, our self-confidence. So often we are full of self-doubt and discouragement about us being able to do any type of set any goal, any action, and then be able to follow through with it. And that's what I am here to help you do, is help you to break these patterns. And often they are patterns of self-sabotage, of self-protection, and really looking and understanding what is happening here. What do we need to decode? What are we like getting to the root of the procrastination? What's really at play here? Because there are going to be emotions that we have to feel, or that we want to feel, that will have us taking the action we want. So my thoughts drive my act. My emotions will then drive my actions. So we can think about it as, I want to be in a certain energy, in a certain positive emotion to take the action that I want. I also have to be willing to feel certain emotions and do it anyways. So willing to feel a little bored and yet doing the task anyways, continuing to show up for myself and not needing to try to do a lot all at once and try to, quote, prove to ourselves, to try to prove to other people that we're doing something, to get other people to understand and see things from our perspective. And I think I shared this on a recent episode, I can't remember where, but talking on another podcast where the host was asking me, so how do you get other people to recognize and to acknowledge that you are making simple steps, you are making progress, even if you're not doing what they think you should be doing? And my response to him was like, why do you want to control what they think? What if you just let them believe whatever they wanted and you maintained your own peace and you didn't let them and their thoughts about you impact you and your thoughts? What if you didn't care so much about what they thought of you? Because the only reason that their judgment matters, that their judgment bothers you, is because you are judging yourself. That's it. Like, the only reason why things will trigger us, or I would say, I don't want to say the only, the key reason why other people's, like, the it's like the fear of judgment or the eye rolls or the looks or the remarks or whatever it is that we're dealing with from some other person. It's like that often will trigger and bother us, mostly because we have that internal judgment. So rather than trying to get them to believe that it's good enough and that you are making progress, you have to sell yourself on it's good enough and you are making progress. That is what's important here. That's the key. This was not a normally scheduled podcast episode. I had some other things planned. I'm working with Caroline Hull, and she and I are working to rebrand the podcast. I'm super excited. I think this is going to be coming out in March, maybe April. Super pumped though. It's going to be amazing. And one of the things we've been talking about is like having a flow for solo episodes and like processes and systems and things like that. And I'm like, I just get on and talk. I was just sharing on Voxer with her yesterday of all my mind drama. I'm like, I really like these just stream of consciousness episodes. And it's so incredible to see where I started, where I was literally scripting out exactly what I would say in the entire episode, writing this like huge like article with nearly every word. And then it shifted into most like an outline, but with sentences. Then it shifted to an outline with bullet points. And now it's just whatever's in my head. So I'm like, don't take that away from me. But they're like, it's going to be so good. So there will still be episodes like this where it's, oh, this came up for me and this is how it applies. This is what it looks like. And this is how you get where you want to go. And a lot of it is also managing your energy, managing your bandwidth. And so when we keep our tasks super simple, so if we just think about the exercise piece, when I keep my yoga to once a week, I am no longer stressing about it, thinking about it all the time. When I know, like, I just want to walk and move my body every day, like, it doesn't matter if it's a dance class or if it's a walk or if it's a hike or if it's body pump or if it's yoga or if it's Pilates or if it's something else, I know I just want to move my body. And I've been in the habit of this for years. So that feels very doable for me. And so I don't expect somebody to come in not exercising and then all of a sudden jump into they work out and they exercise every single day. Even for 5 or 10 minutes, that might not be realistic. So we are always going to make a plan, create what your action plan is, and then we're going to evaluate and see, okay, what's getting in my way? What's coming up? And there are going to be times where we want to keep the goal the same and we want to keep on looking at, okay, how can I do this even better? So a great example here, I had a client a couple of years ago and she was really working on being able to eat 3 pieces of candy and be satisfied instead of eating half a bag of candy, instead of just mindlessly eating while she was working. It was, I want to be intentional. I don't want you to take the candy away from me. But I do want to be able to stop at 3 pieces. And so we are actively working on that. And even on the days when she didn't hit it perfectly, we never changed that goal. It's still going to be 3 pieces of candy per day. And then it's looking at, okay, now if I want more, if I eat more, what was driving that? What was at play? How do I break these habits mentally, the thought habits? What are the emotional needs that I'm trying to meet that I need to meet for myself without food? Where can I recognize the autopilot physical habit side of things? Of if you are used to walking to the bathroom or walking out of your building or your office and there's a candy bowl at the reception desk or something at the front and you are just used to walking by and grabbing a handful of candy, right? Like that is something that we need. It's not always intentionally. It may not be emotionally driven, but we want to bring some awareness to it. So we want to get off of autopilot and get into the habit and into the action. So anyways, we worked on 3 pieces of candy and not changing that goal for an entire year. That was the focus. That was the baseline. Same thing for me and my, like, probably my drinking and my desserts. That will probably stay the same the entire year. Same thing for my yoga. It's going to stay the same the entire year. This is my baseline. I have some clients where we're going to play around with things a little bit, where their baselines and what we're going to test out and trial right now is going to look a little bit different now. And we might decrease some things rather than saying, okay, I want to exercise or work out every day for 10 minutes. It might be 3 days a week for 10 minutes, right? It might be once a week for 10 minutes. It's like, how can we make this so simple, so doable that It's inevitable that you get it done. The flip side of that is then we have to tell ourselves that this is good enough. I have to tell myself that I will make progress going to yoga once per week. And now if I go twice, it's just for fun. It's because I want to. So as I look ahead to February, where I'm teaching more body pump, I am subbing a class consistently. So I'm adding on a fourth class, and then I'm helping with launches 3 out of the 4 weekends in February. So I'm going to be teaching now 5 days a week for the first 3 weeks of February. And then it goes to 4 days. And then I think starting in March, I'll be back to my 3 days. So I also know, one, plan a massage, like plan to have a massage at the end of the month, get that scheduled. And then two is, okay, now on those off days, it's probably me Monday and Thursday, those are likely going to be yoga days. And I'm going to make it to at least one of them. And there's my Monday night class I really love. So it's keep that. And then I can also likely make the Thursday work. If there are obstacles, challenges, things that come up, like when I have my son, for example, those weeks, it may not be as feasible to do an evening class. So then I look at, okay, how else can I make this work? So then maybe it's a Friday morning. Like they don't have Thursday morning there. So it's maybe there's another gym that I'm at. Maybe there's something else. So it's like giving yourself the flexibility and the permission to be intentional without being super strict about that goal. The other thing that I've been studying recently has been human design. And y'all, if you have not done this, message me. You can message me. You can reply to any of my emails. Message me on Instagram. Message me human design. That's all you have to say. And I will start the conversation. It is wildly fascinating. And I know I might be a little late to the party here. Some of you might be like, yeah, duh, where have you been? But in going through this, so I did my gene keys years ago, and then I forgot about it. It was up on my wall for a long time and just like something that I noticed. So I did it in 2017 is when I first got my chart and then got a little bit of coaching around it. And then it was in my awareness for maybe a year or two and then like just fell off. And so I'm bringing that back into my awareness, but this has been really interesting to dive deeper into the human design aspect. And so one of the pieces that I was learning about this morning actually was when it comes to goal setting. And there are some people who are more like better at setting very specific goals and others who are better at setting broader goals where there's an intention there of, okay, I want to work out twice this week. And that's the goal. There doesn't need to be anything more specific. And then there are going to be other people who really thrive and do well when they say, okay, I'm going to work out and do this type of workout on this day for this amount of time and this, like at this time. Yeah. So it's looking at like very specifically, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what this looks like. And I think it's like when we allow ourselves to test and to trial and error, we give ourselves permission to find the way that works for us. What's interesting is my design profile has me being very specific. And what I've found actually over the last 6 months has been I do better when I am more freeform, detached, surrendered, and not super specific. So I seem to do better, create better results when I am less specific. Even though that's what my profile says, I should be more specific. So I think there's some little nuances of this is where you get to decide, you get to play around with it. And sometimes, and one of my thoughts here for this is I wonder if me being less specific, more open to the flow, open to the how, is part of me detaching from needing this outcome of needing it to look a certain way. And it's that detaching aspect that this like surrender has helped me come up with. And surrender, I think I mentioned this again on another podcast, but like surrender is my year of the word. It's my word of the year. This is what I really focused on and really tuned into last year and around August. And there was just this deep surrender to God and his purpose, his will for my life. And I was like, all right, what your will, not mine. Like this really deep surrender of, I want these things. You've put this desire on my heart. You've given me certain skills, but Lord, I don't want to keep forcing something that is not meant to be. So your will, not mine. And this is, I think, the point where we can get to where it's okay, God, I really want to get a handle on my emotional eating. I really want to stop binge eating. I really want to lose the weight and feel better in my body. But not from a place, but again, it's like, but your will, not mine. The less, like, your lessons, not mine. Your timing, not mine. And there are lessons. If you are still binge eating, emotionally eating, overeating, if you are still overweight, there are lessons that you need to fully learn and integrate into who you are and how you're showing up in the world. That's the only reason why you're overweight right now. That's the only reason why you still have this habit of overeating or binge eating. It's the only thing. Like, there are just some lessons that you have either not yet looked at, you haven't learned, or you haven't fully integrated into your life. And I hope that gives you hope, because like it can be that simple. And this is what I help you do, is learn the lesson, is to figure out what is driving this shift. What is underneath the habit? Because we can willpower for a couple of weeks. There was a time when I couldn't even willpower for a single day, y'all. We've got to let go of the willpower and the trying to force it and make it happen and make it happen in our timeline. And I promise, when we surrender, it happens faster and easier than you ever thought possible. But this is the journey, and there are lessons to be learned. And just as I continue to learn more and new lessons, like, this is the process. And now I'm learning them in other areas. Like, I've learned so many lessons around food and body image and with my weight, with my binge eating habit, with my emotional awareness. Like, part of what I, like, really struggling with allowing negative emotions, struggling to process emotions and to, like, feel them and to even recognize, like, what they were for so long. It was like I grew up in a household where my negative emotions were typically not acceptable. They were not okay. I was not supposed to have them. And then I was in a marriage where, once again, at times, and it wasn't all the time, so this is what was tricky, but many times, certain emotions were not allowed. And there would be shame. Like, how dare you be stressed? You have such a great life. You should be more grateful for what you have. Women would kill to be in your shoes. Women would kill to be married to me. Why aren't you more happy? Why aren't you more grateful? Why can't you just accept this life? When that wasn't the desire for my heart, that wasn't the desire of my heart. It wasn't the desire for my life. Okay, that was a bit of a side tangent. But the key here is that there are lessons to be learned. And one of the beautiful things about coaching is that there are things that I am naturally skilled and gifted at, and there are things that I have learned through much trial and error, that I have learned through navigating the process. And I was not good at when I started, but now I look at it and I'm like, ooh, I am a thought ninja. I am an emotional ninja. Like, I can recognize emotions. I can feel it. I can allow it. And even when I can't pinpoint and name what the emotion is, I can just sit with it and feel it now and allow the vibrations to move through my body and be okay with it. If you want some help with this, I would love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And this is the best place to go if you are curious about working with me, if you want to learn more about what it would look like to have me as your private coach or working with me in a small, intimate group. This is where it's at. This is where it all begins, because we are going to dive into what's going on, what's happening in your life right now, and really start to lean into what is that future vision you have for your life. And this is one of the things that I give all of my clients to start on. And sometimes there are things that we have to keep fleshing out over the first couple months, but you start on this and start to envision what is that dream life that you want. We want to get so clear on, this is where I want to move and this is where I want to go. And we start taking action towards those goals, and then you always get to pivot. You always get to change your mind. So you might start training for a marathon and then be like, F this, I don't want to do this. All right. And we want to just look at, what are your reasons? What is the intention behind it? Do you like the reasons? Will you like them in 6 months? And then we're going to move and we're going to adjust. And so then you might decide, yeah, no, I don't like that. So I that's not what I love to do. So I'm not going to do that. But you have to get started. You have to take that first step, because clarity comes from taking action. And so what I help you do is to get out of procrastination, out of inaction, out of knowing what to do, out of knowing all the things that you could be, should be doing, and actually following through and starting to do the things, starting to take those steps, those first steps forward. because that is something I hear so often. We don't need more information. You already know what healthy looks like. You already know to put down the bag of chips and pick up a bag of baby carrots. But at 8 p.m. at night, when you're wanting to relax and de-stress and maybe watch a show, you carrots, you want the chips. And usually there are multiple reasons for it. And I'm going to help you decode and understand them so that you can change these habits for good. I'm going to help you identify what are the lessons that you need to learn so that you can change it, so that food no longer has the stronghold over you, so that you can go to a buffet and you can eat whatever you want and you walk away feeling satisfied, not overly stuffed, needing to unbutton your pants, feeling like, oh, I got to get my money's worth out of this. You can go on vacation and maintain your weight. You can go on vacation and actually come back and have lost weight. You can feel so much ease around the holidays with food and with alcohol. You can enjoy your weekends with your family instead of constantly thinking about and worrying about what food you should be eating and how much, and do you need to exercise, and you got to do this, and then not doing anything, not taking any of the action and the steps that you want to take, and then feeling like crap about yourself. So you can break that all or nothing habit, and you can really find that middle ground, that moderation, that steadiness. That's what I'm going to help you create for your life, to where food no longer is the primary source of your joy and pleasure and adventure and excitement. You're still going to enjoy your food, but it no longer holds the key to that. And you can let go and you can release it and find your joy and pleasure and adventure and excitement in your life that you are creating on purpose. So if you want more of that, come work with me. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. Come find me on Instagram. Come laugh at my living room right now because it is hilarious. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.